Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We all know the function of doors. We all know how important doors are in our lives. I never realized how significant and important doors are until one day when I was involved in designing a university in Ujung Pandang in Indonesia. I was brought into that firm to help and assist my boss in the design of that university. And so as we were designing faculty, one faculty at a time, and then one day, when I went to office, he placed a book on my table. And then he said, study this book. Then when I look at the book was about how to name doors. And then I suddenly realized, I did not know that naming doors can be something so complicated. Imagine a university with so many, many faculties, so many rooms. You have classrooms, laboratories for many different functions. And then you have so many doors that are attached to it. And because of certain requirements such as safety in light of fire or whatever, calamities, certain rooms might have at least two doors. And so you must name the doors in a way that is easy to find. And then in future, maybe sometime down the road, they want to add a new door between a few doors. So how do you insert a door without a number? Or if you were to give it a new number, how will this number relate to the other numbers that are already existing in this long list of doors? So it can be very complicated, and so it gave me this thick volume to read and study on how to name doors. Very important. Every room you design, every building you design, you have to include doors. And we know what these doors are meant to be. Some doors we can enter freely, some doors are out of bounds. And you and I, in our existence, I'm sure you have encountered both types of doors. Some doors you can just simply walk in because it is your right, especially your home. You enter into your main door that will lead you into your home. And then within your homes, you have many different doors. You have the doors to the bedrooms, you have the doors to the toilets, you have the doors to the laundry area. So many different types of doors. And you can just simply walk into them because you are family. A stranger who comes to visit you, he may be allowed to enter the main door. He may be allowed to enter into certain toilet doors. But he is not permitted to enter into any bedroom doors because he is not family. And so we all know there are certain doors that are out of bounds. In a bank, same thing. Everywhere you go, you're going to find certain doors. You can enter freely. Certain doors you find so awkward you may not even want to go in because you feel very uncomfortable. I better not go in. I remember in one particular shopping center, they sell very expensive watches. I look at these watches on the display counter. Each one, five figures. Some six figures. Then I look at the people who want to sell you these doors. They wear coat and tie. They dress nicer than me. So I look at them. I look at the watches. I'm not going to buy. They know I look at me. They know I'm not going to buy. And so I felt so awkward. These are some of the shops I don't want to enter. I don't intend to buy anyway. I can't afford it anyway. And they know I can't afford it when they look at how I dress. And so I feel so awkward, I don't want to enter. Because if I will enter it, the whole place make me feel so uncomfortable, I will walk out very quickly anyway. So what's the point? Better walk by. Why did the Lord use the door to describe himself? I am the door. Now there must be a difference between a parable and an allegory. This is an allegory, not a parable. A parable is known as an extended simile. A simile has the word as or like. You are as thin as a pencil. That's a simile. When there are many words, when it is a long list of words, then a simile is known as an extended simile or a parable. And so the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows. And then there are four different kinds of ground. And so you have verse after verse after verse explaining the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows. An extended simile is a parable where the main thrust, the main focus is at the end. And the Lord explains it to us. An allegory is an extended metaphor or metaphor. A metaphor does not have the word as or like. You are a pig. That's a metaphor. Of course, you're not actually a pig. But you're a pig. Short, crisp, that's a metaphor. But when you have a lot of words, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and then the Lord continues. Like in this case, I am the door, and then he continues. An extended metaphor is an allegory. So this is an allegory. And so the Lord says, I am the door. And we all know what a door is. Jesus Christ was trying to explain something that the audience struggled with understanding. Because when Jesus said in verse 1 to verse 5, he described himself as the shepherd. Anyone who does not come in through the door, into the sheepfold, he is a thief and a robber. The true shepherd will come in, and the sheep will hear his voice, and the sheep will recognize him and follow him. But a thief and a robber, they will not come in through the door. They will climb in, and the sheep will not follow them. And the Bible tells us in verse 6, they did not understand. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not. Of course, they understand in terms of the words, but they didn't understand the meaning whereby they could apply it into their lives, because the word understand here is experiential understanding. What things they were which he spake unto them. And so Jesus now gave another explanation, and this was the allegory of I am the door. Now the door here in verse 7 is not the door in verse 1 to 5 of the same chapter. Please, every word has no meaning by itself. The context in which the word is used will give it the meaning. So do not get confused. Verse 1 to verse 5 is a parable where the Lord Jesus Christ explained to them that he is the shepherd. They did not understand. He used an allegory of I am the door to help them. And then from verse 11 onwards, he will go back to the shepherd concept to help them understand. Understand what? That Jesus Christ is the door. Why is that important? Because there are many doors, and some of these doors are false doors. We are not talking about the door entering into a room. We are talking about the doors that enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there are many false doors. And these people who will present the false doors, Jesus called them thieves and robbers. They did not understand the concept of thieves and robbers. That's why they struggled, because they knew that Christ was referring to the people mentioned in chapter 9. In chapter 9, the Lord Jesus Christ healed a man who was born blind on the Sabbath day. And the priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, the people from the Sanhedrin council, the religious leaders, especially the Pharisees, whom the Jews regarded as the most righteous and holy people on earth by way of good works. So much so, their righteousness could never be exceeded by anyone else. They were the epitome of salvation by good works. That's what the Pharisees were known for, and they were proud of it. They knew it. And many Jewish parents, when they bring their children up, they will use the Pharisees as example for them to follow. You want to go to heaven by good works? You look at their lives. You follow the strict rules and regulations that these Pharisees have lived since young. And perhaps you may also accompany them and follow them closely behind and enter into heaven. But if there is anyone who can enter heaven, it will be them. This had been drummed into them by their parents since birth. And then now suddenly, you have Jesus of Nazareth healing this man deliberately on the Sabbath day, which was a breaking of the laws of the tradition of the Jews. And the Pharisees were the policemen, and they were the ones who confronted Christ, and they were the ones that the people regarded as the one who can show them into the entrance into heaven. And here you have Jesus of Nazareth, who was their opponents, who was the complete opposite of these people, because these people wanted Christ killed. But Jesus just did a miracle, but on the Sabbath day. And so they charged him for breaking their laws. Now, to those who are champions of salvation by good works, albeit these good works are not man-made, these good works are found in the Old Testament scriptures, given by God as evidence of salvation. But they have turned these good works into the way to salvation. By doing Christian deeds, you will one day arrive and enter into heaven. That was the danger. That was the confusion. That was the problem that Jesus Christ had to deal with. And that's why he said in the first five verses, these are thieves and robbers. They could not understand. How could these Pharisees, whom we have been told by our own parents since young, for generations, that they are the ones we need to follow and imitate in order to enter heaven? But now we have this man who can do miracles telling us that they are but thieves and robbers. They do not go in by the door, and the sheep not supposed to hear them and not supposed to follow them. But we have been told to follow them, and that's why they could not understand what Jesus Christ said in the first five verses. And so the Lord wants to make it plain and clear to them by using this allegory of I am the door. Now remember, the thieves and the robbers are mentioned also in John chapter 10, which he also mentioned in verse 1 of chapter 10. All right, a thief and a robber, and he will mention them, thieves and robbers, in verse 8, and then he will exclude the robber, and he will only mention the thief in verse 10. So the first thing we note concerning Jesus Christ telling us, I am the door, is warning us, beware of false doors. Beware of false Christ, in other words. Beware of false way into heaven. Because this was found in the time of Christ. This has always existed since the fall of man. Wherever the truth is preached, is taught, Satan will follow close behind with his false messengers, false message, with thieves and robbers. We are talking about spiritual thieves, spiritual robbers, not real, actual thieves and robbers, because these people only steal your material things. They are, as far as God is concerned, harmless compared to the spiritual thieves and spiritual robbers who will steal your soul, your life. These are the dangerous ones. Because if they manage to steal your heart, your soul, and your life, what they offer you is only a theory that you are going to heaven, a lie. And when you die, you will find out that you have been following thieves and robbers. But by then, you are in hell. You can't get out. Too late. That is why the Lord warns us, beware of false doors, which they struggle to find, to accept. Jesus just appeared. His ministry was only 3.5 years. The ministries of the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, have been there since their return in the time of Ezra, Nehemiah. Comparing to Christ's ministry, albeit by the demonstration of many powerful, genuine miracles, Jesus Christ had to open the eyes of these who were sheep to let them see, because if you are sheep, you will not follow the thieves and the robbers. That's why it is so dangerous, because we must guard and make sure that our own soul is not following thieves and robbers. We are living in the last days. If it was difficult and dangerous in the time of Christ 2,000 years ago, it is far more deadly and dangerous in our time, when the Lord Jesus Christ warns us and tells us that when He returns, will I find faith on the earth? That means genuine faith will be a very rare product. That means there will be more people who think they are going to heaven, who profess that they are believers, but in reality, they have all this while been following thieves and robbers. That's why it is so deadly and dangerous. That's why the Lord warns us, beware of false Christ, false doors. Because if you enter in, it will be very difficult to get out. Because you already think that you are a Christian. You already think that you have entered into the kingdom of heaven. But in reality, the door that you have entered into only brings forth death and hell. That is why it is so needful and important for us to make sure that the door that you find is the right door, because there are many false doors. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am always and will continue to be the door of the sheep. Only the sheep will find this. If you are not a sheep, you will not be able to find this. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. All those who have been coming in front of me, ahead of me, basically pointing fingers at the Pharisees. They were before Christ in terms of time, because Christ came when they were already in existence. They may be first. They may have that advantage. But the Lord made it abundantly clear. They are nothing but thieves and robbers. They cannot show you the way of salvation. Christ can. He is the door. And the sheep, the Bible says, Jesus says, did not hear them. They never had. They never will. It is a statement of fact and reality. Now that to me is very frightening. Because we live in a time where false doors, false Christianity are very, very numerous. You look at the face of Christianity today. You and I know from church history where it was given a new beginning. When it all started 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, and then within the lifetime of the apostles, by the close of the first century, the gospel has reached by the direction that God had intended through the agency that means cross into Europe, present-day Europe, into Greece. That's why many of our New Testament books are named after cities found in Greece. Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth. That's where the direction God wanted it to go. And when you study church history, it kept on going westward, crossed into Britain. And then during the time of the 16th century Reformation, the Puritans were raised up by God, and then they took a ship called the Mayflower as they fled from persecution in Europe. They landed in America, and he went there. And then through the British Empire, the gospel came to the African continent, the South American continent, and to the rest of the world. Southeast Asia, China, Australia, through the British Empire. That's why God sent it in that direction, and this was how the gospel journey traveled. Today, it has really covered all the continents of the earth. But this was the journey. And as you study church history, everywhere the gospel went, Satan with his many false doors followed. And he will continue to assault and attack, assault and attack. So much so that you look at the second beginning, which was the 16th century Reformation. During the early years, when the gospel was within the continent of Europe, Jerusalem, Judea, persecution was used by the devil. First century, second century, third century, until Constantine came in the fourth century and turned Christianity into his state religion. And from that point onwards, dilution entered. Anyone who wants to participate in my empire and reign and rule with me, you must first become a Christian. So false Christians suddenly erupted. During the fire of persecution, Christianity was pure. Everyone who wanted to believe in Christ, the sacrifice was enormous. Loss of job, loss of property, loss of family, loss of freedom, loss of life. And yet there were still many who wanted to accept Christ, and they did, and they paid for it with their lives. But the moment Christianity was watered down by false Christians who wanted to become Christians for carnal reasons, for monetary reasons, for material purposes, Christianity started to decline and decay. This was the start of the 1,000 years of dark ages until the 16th century Reformation, when the Lord gave it a new beginning. And then Christianity started to burn brightly again across Europe, Britain, America, and the rest of the world. But look at these countries today. Christianity is more or less dead in Europe. The face of Christianity in Europe is Roman Catholicism, which is a Christianity belonging to thieves and robbers. Britain, once upon a time, a citadel for the battle for the faith. Today, it is gone too. It is a country where the word of God is despised, where the name of Christ is mocked and rejected. It is now a citadel of thieves and robbers as well. America, again, it was like Britain long ago, not too long. The headquarters where fundamentalism and the perfect Bible were earnestly contended. But today, seminaries are closing down, churches are dying. Thieves and robbers prevail. Everywhere where Christianity begins its ministry, thieves and robbers sent by the God of this world followed closely behind. Every time, undermining, undermining, attacking, undermining, attacking, nonstop. Beware of false doors. And today, you look at the face of Christianity. The Lord already warns us, before my second coming, my return, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 3, Christianity will fall away, will turn apostate. That means there will be more false doors than true. And you and I are living in that time. And so the warning from Christ, warning us about the false doors managed by thieves and robbers in verse 7 and verse 8, they are more prominent than ever before. What kind of Christ did you believe in? If you did not believe in the Christ of the Bible, if you have not entered into the right door, you have been following thieves and robbers. You are not part of the sheep. You belong to what the Bible describes as goats. And this particular kind of goats look very similar to sheep. They sound like it. They look like sheep from a distance. But on closer examination, you will see and realize that they are not sheep at all. The character and nature of goats are very belligerent, very cantankerous, like false Christians, very carnal. The lust of the flesh continue to dominate and rule their lives. Today, look at the face of charismatism. The health and wealth gospel is a promoter of the lust of the flesh doctrine. You believe in Christ who died for your sin You will be healthy and wealthy. You know how deceptive that gospel door is? If you have entered into that gospel door, you have not been following the Christ of the Bible. That makes you not a sheep. You are goats. When you were in the world, the Bible tells us the sins of the people in the world are characterized by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now that they call you Christians, when you accepted their gospel, believe in Jesus Christ who died for your sin, you will be healthy and wealthy. You now are called Christians, and you now continue to live for health and wealth. How is that different from the time when you were not called a Christian by them? When you were in the world, you live for health and wealth. That is what God called the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now that you are called Christian by them, not by God, they now Christianize the same sin that you used to swim in. Now they Christianize it. Go out into the world and call yourself a Christian, but still live for the lust of the flesh. The Bible tells us that kind of teaching comes only from false teachers, whereby what you have been delivered out of is into a more deadly and dangerous bondage. This is taught very clearly and explicitly by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2. You look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1 says, in the Old Testament, they were called false prophets. In the New Testament, they were called false teachers. Because in the Old Testament, the Word of God was not completed yet. The God of this world sent false prophets to confuse and to confound the people. But now that in the New Testament, when the Word of God is completed, what you have will be false teachers. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. All right, Old Testament, false prophets. New Testament, false teachers, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, this will be the end of the false teachers whom Jesus called thieves and robbers. They rob you of your soul. They rob you of your life. They rob you of your time on earth by their false teachings. Verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. That means God has reserved for them the lake of fire, which is called the darkness of darkness here. That's the meaning of mist of darkness, the darkness of darkness. That's the lake of fire. They will be condemned. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, emptiness, they allure, they seduce, they entrap you through the lust of the flesh. Doesn't that sound like the teaching? You believe in Jesus Christ who died for your sin, you'll be healthy and wealthy. That's the lust of the flesh. Health and wealth is the desires of the flesh. Through much wantonness, licentiousness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. They make you think that you have escaped from the world, but now they have brought you into another error. While they promise them liberty, freedom in Christ, but they do not give you freedom, what they have done is they themselves are servants of corruption. All they care about is health and wealth. For they of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. So what they have done is they have not helped you out of the bondage of sin. What they have done is to bring you into a different bondage of sin, which is worse than before. How do we know that? Look at the rest of this passage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, that is the lust of the flesh in the world, through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Why? Because now you have made them, the false teachers, the thieves and the robbers, have made them think that they are Christians, they are going to heaven, they have entered into the right door. But in reality, they are still going to hell. They have entered into a false door. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. At least then they can still be given the truth and be saved. Then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened to many, unto them according to the true proverb. And so how did God describe these people who follow false teachers, the thieves and the robbers? They are like two animals, dogs and pigs, sow. The dog is turned to his own vomit, no change in nature. Still swimming in the lust of the flesh. Like the sow that was washed and then very quickly turned to a wallowing in the mire, into the dirt, into the filth. No change in the nature. Because everyone who entered into the right door, the right Christ, their nature will be changed forever. So beware of false doors, the thieves and the robbers, who will bring you into many of these false doors, making you think that you are going to heaven, when in fact, you are still heading toward hell. So find the right door. This is what Jesus wanted for everyone when he warned us in verse 7 and verse 8 of the false doors. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. The sheep will not hear the thieves and the robbers. The sheep will know and find the right door. I am the door, verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, there is something different about him. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. What does that mean? He shall be saved. Saved from what? First, saved from the bondage of sin. His life is no longer ruled by the lust of the flesh. He will repudiate health and wealth. He will not care for health and wealth. He knows the Lord Jesus Christ. He now has eternal life. He knows that his life here on earth is no longer measured by the abundance of what he possesses, which is what Jesus Christ taught us. But the thieves and robbers still want you to measure your life according to the abundance of what you possess on earth. The complete opposite of what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us, the sheep who are saved. They have been delivered. They know the truth. When they go in and they go out, they will find pasture. The shepherd will take care of them. This is an imagery of an actual shepherd looking after the sheep. When the danger is out there, they come into the sheepfold. The shepherd will feed them and protect them and take care of them. In the daytime, when the danger out there is over, when they go out, the shepherd will also be there to protect them and to watch over them. That's the idea of the in and out, and they will find pasture. They will forever be protected and cared for by the shepherd because they know the voice of the shepherd and the shepherd knows them. So what happened when a person is saved? How can a person know that he is saved? There is a transformation and a change. When you find the right door, you enter in. Jesus wants you to enter in and saved you. A person who is saved, first and foremost, he understands the Bible. The Bible tells us when a person accepts Christ as Lord and as Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ will instantaneously baptize him with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God will now dwell and live in him forever. And he will at the same time be given the mind of Christ, whereby his old thinking will slowly but surely begin to change forever. And he will also at the same time be imputed with the righteousness of God, whereby he will always do everything that is right according to the Bible. Because now, with the Spirit of God dwelling in him, he can understand the Bible, the Word of God. Understanding the Bible the right way is one of the clearest evidence of someone who has been saved, who have entered the right door, which is Christ. Why is Christ called the door? Because no man can enter into heaven. We are sinners, covered in filth. Heaven is a place where only holy people, saints, are permitted. Every sin, every sinner is cast out. When the angels sin, they were cast out. No one can enter heaven without passing through Christ, because Christ is the door. Christ is the only one who can wash a sinner of all his sins and make him a holy person fit to enter through and into heaven. That's why Christ says, I am the door. Just like you are outside heaven, Christ is the only one that you can enter into heaven, because Christ was sent by God to die on the cross for your sin. Period. That's the only reason you accept Christ. It is not sin plus health and wealth, which is now preached by the charismatics. Long time ago, not that long, in the 70s and 80s, when I heard some of these charismatic preachers, they don't talk about sin. They just say, believe in Jesus Christ, you will be healthy and wealthy. But then now they realize that is not deceptive enough. Tell them they believe in Jesus Christ who died for their sin, and you will be healthy and wealthy. Add on top of sin, health and wealth. There is no addition. It is purely because of sin. What kind of sin? Sin against God. Not just sin against man, sin against God. When you sin against God, there is nothing you can give to appease the wrath of God against you. You want to offer God your house, your gold, your money, your bank account. God says, this earth belongs to me. You are living on my earth. Everything you own already belong to me. They don't belong to you at all. So there is nothing you can offer to me that can take my wrath and my anger against you, a sinner. But what about our good works? God says your good works may be good in the eyes of other fellow human beings. But as far as God is concerned, your good works are like filthy rags, smelly and stinky and covered in filth, because you are already born in sin and everything that you touch is now sinful. Therefore, there's nothing that you can call good in the eyes of God according to God's absolute standard of goodness. That's why when you and I come before God, you come as an abject, 100%, totally bankrupt sinner before him. That's the only way, only reason why we come before God through Christ. No other agenda. If you think that you can believe in Christ and become healthy and wealthy, that is the message of thieves and robbers. That is not the door. That is not the Christ of the Bible. That is a false door given to you by thieves and robbers. And if you follow that kind of message, you are not a sheep. The Lord made it clear. My sheep will never hear them. Never. At any time. But the sheep will always hear the voice of the shepherd, and they will enter into the door, which is Christ, and they will be saved. Because Christ alone can wash away all your sins. Because what he did on the cross was to take over the penalty and punishment that a sinner deserved, that you and I deserve. He took it upon himself. And the Lord says to you tonight, what he has done for you on the cross, it may be 2,000 years ago, but to show you that it is enough to take away all your sins, whatever your sins are, no matter how heinous, no matter how ugly and awful, no matter how smelly, my son the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I sent to come and live and die for you on the cross of Calvary. It is enough to wash away all your sins, because I raised him from the dead as a sign of my acceptance, that it is enough to take away all your sins. All you need to do is to accept and believe. That's all you require to say from your heart the word, I accept. As long as you do not say it, you do not want to acknowledge and accept Jesus Christ, who died for you, and you die with him, when you say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner, undone, and I cannot save myself, and I deserve to find myself in hell because of the enormity of the sin that I have committed against you by my idolatry, by my lust, by my pride and ego. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. I accept what he has done for me. I accept what you have offered me in Christ. That he died on the cross for my sin. He took my punishment, my penalty, because of my transgression. Forgive me. If you refuse, you remain in sin. But once you fully, truly accept with all your heart, in all sincerity, Jesus promised us, I am the door. If any man enter in, entering in means you accept. You shall be saved, guarantee. And from henceforth, your place in heaven is secured no matter what happens on this earth. You will go in and out, and I will take care of you. You will find pasture. There will be no temptation that I will permit you to go through, whereby I know your faith will be strong enough to go through it successfully, victoriously. The thief come not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. A thief is worse than a robber. A robber, at least they confront you to your face that I'm robbing you. But a thief is deceptive. They come at night while you are not awake. You're not aware. And then he steal from you. And many of these charismatic pastors, they are thieves. You trust them. You sincerely believe in them because they are very, very appealing to your lusts. They know. What do they want from you? They are thieves and robbers. First, they rob you of your money. Many of these charismatic churches, when you join them as members, they want to find out how much you earn every month. And they will make sure that you give up your tithe and offering. They will not say what we say, that if you don't understand, please don't give. We don't want your money. But we know that God wants his children. When they worship him, they do not come with empty hands. And that's why we have offering, tithe and offering, as part of our worship. But it is only for cheerful giver. If you don't feel like giving, you want to give out of compulsion, out of necessity, the Lord says, no need. The Lord doesn't need our money. The Lord owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. The Lord can do without us. We cannot do without him. He gave us the honor and the privilege to give. We are here as full-time workers to serve because God called us here. We never talk about money with the board of elders. We never talk about how many days off. Even if they don't give us anything, we will still be in this church. I'm talking about we, myself, Preacher Colin Kang, Preacher Joshua. It is where the Lord called us. And we are serving the Lord. They don't have to give us anything, and we'll still be serving the Lord, giving our all. Trusting in the Lord to provide. We don't want your money. You don't have to give anything. But not thieves and robbers. They first take your money, your things. And when that is not enough, they take your time. Because every moment, every minute you spend worshiping in their churches, serving them, it is a minute wasted promoting the kingdom of thieves and robbers, which is ultimately the kingdom of the God of this world. And then ultimately, not only will they take what you have in terms of dollars and cents, not only will they take your time, they will take your soul. Because when you die, you still die in sin and you end up in hell. And there is nothing you can do. It's too late. That's why you and I have to make sure that you enter into the right door. For we have so many false doors in our age and in our time. A person who is truly born again in Christ, he will never be the same again. There is a change, a transformation from within his soul, whereby his motivation and his ambitions are completely replaced. Once he was constrained and motivated by promotion and money when he goes to work, thinking that he has to bring in bread and butter to feed the family. But as a Christian, that ambition, that motivation suddenly disappears and replaced by the love of Christ. He can't help it. It's not the work of the will of man. It is the work of the power of the Spirit of God that dwells in the child of God, the sheep. And he will now be constrained by the love of Christ as he goes to work, where all he focuses on is how to be a holy witness to my colleagues. He goes to school, how can I be a holy witness to my classmates? So that by my conduct and behavior, I want my classmates, I want my colleagues to see Christ in me. So that when I share the gospel with them, God can use me as a vessel to point them to the Savior, because their goal and their purpose and their hope is that the friends and the colleagues that God has sent into their lives will come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior. This is what it means for a person to be saved. His entire being, because he knows that this whole world is going to be destroyed by fire, he doesn't care for health and wealth anymore. This earthen vessel will continue to grow old and decay. This earthen vessel is not fit to enter heaven. That's why when a believer dies in Christ, only his spirit goes to heaven. This body is left behind. This body is only good for the earthly environment. He knows all these things. That's why he will not believe in Christ for health and wealth. That is the lie of the thieves and the robbers. The sheep will understand this, and they will enter into the right door, which is truly accept Christ, the Christ of the Bible, whereas the thief will come and steal and kill and destroy you. But Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. A life that is no longer measured by the size of our bank account, by the size of our homes. He doesn't care whether he lives in a one-room HDB flat or a big mansion. All these things suddenly means nothing to him, as long as he walks close to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He doesn't care about fashion, whether the garment that he wears costs only $1 or $1,000. He doesn't care for all these things anymore, because he is a spiritual person, where he now understands spiritual things. He understands the things of God. He is able to see the things of God on this earth that are eternal, that are forever, that are spiritual. But those who follow thieves and robbers, they are still guided by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Are you motivated by the lust of the flesh? When you go to work, where all you care about is money and promotion, then you have been following thieves and robbers. You have to be motivated by the love of Christ constraining you, which has been given to us at the point of salvation. Romans 5:5 says that. The love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. When did that happen? At salvation. You have no excuse not to use this motive, the love of Christ, that constrains us to live for Christ, because you have entered into the right door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what awaits you at the end of your life is heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ welcoming you home, my good and faithful servant. Beware of false doors. Find the right door and enter in. All you need is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, who died for your sin, as we have mentioned earlier, and believe with all your heart and surrender your life to Christ. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may Thy Holy Spirit take the word of life and bring conviction to every heart tonight. That those who have been deceived, may thou open their eyes that they might see and enter into the right door, which is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins only and rose from the dead for our justification. And we can experience the joy of salvation and what it means to call God Abba, Father. Thank thee, Lord, for salvation so rich and so free that you have offered to everyone who would come and enter into the door. May thy Holy Spirit speak to every heart and bring conviction. For Jesus' sake, O Lord, hear us. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.